The following program has been furnished and paid by Nathan P. Ross, CPA, and KSEV is not responsible for its content or the products or services offered.
Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Welcome to this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. Thank you for tuning in today. It's the Friday version of the Be a Planner Show. And before we get started, I want to remind you that just because you hear something that sounds appropriate for your facts and circumstances today, whether it's tax or real estate or otherwise related, please don't rush in and try to apply or otherwise initiate said strategies, and check with your existing advisors. They're familiar, hopefully, with your current facts and circumstances, and they can confirm what you thought you heard, and more importantly, explain whether or not it might fit your goals and objectives. And sometimes that's easier said than done when you're talking about looking at forward strategies or strategies to be applied on a go-forward. If you don't have existing advisors, you're welcome to go to our website at beaplannershow.com and find the forms link there on the homepage. It's to the right side of the navigation bar, and you can go to the forms page and fill out at least the first form, step one, client profile, and then once you've submitted that, go schedule a call with us at the call link, and we'll be happy to spend a few moments with you on the phone to assess where you're at, where you want to go, and see if we can't sync up with our service offerings, help you achieve your goals and objectives. I want to also mention that it's important to realize that we are not providing accounting, legal, tax, or real estate advice. We may talk about certain transactions. The transactions are starting to thaw out, coming back to life. We're seeing some good opportunities, and there's a lot of distress in the market. So it's like we've said before, you know, whether the market's heading up or heading down, or whether syndicators are clipping big gains or clipping big losses, somebody's making money, because there's always two sides to those transactions. And I know it's difficult when you're in a troubled transaction. We all have those, but we also, hopefully, we have some transactions that will make up for them. And I would just urge you to keep looking at the big picture, the overall objective, and continue to have, you know, forward progress. I wanted to talk about, I did not have a chance this week to put some articles up on the news page of our website, but I do have some current applicable articles, especially in the multifamily space. You know, I go to Globe Street very often, and you know, I try to find things that are relevant to our current show or prior shows. There's one article I wanted to start with. So this article is about absorption. And as you know, we've talked in the recent past as to how the absorption rate, which is the occupancy of newly delivered available units, not necessarily new units, but they're, you know, they've had recent move outs, or they could be newly constructed. But anyway, it's the pool of availability, and in most markets across the country, they have declined significantly in some. And this article will give us some insights into that. Only half of new apartments, and this is focusing on the newly delivered units coming into the available pipeline. And let's see which cities they're going to talk about. But only the title, again, is only half of the You gotta get a sip of some coffee here. So only half of new apartments are leased within 3 months. So that's not a positive number, but the fact that they're leased at all, I would suggest for some parts of the country, I'd say if they're leased in 6 months, that's doing pretty good. However, it's important to note the landlords are increasingly offering concessions as renters gain more negotiating power. And for those of you that are already investing, or you're thinking about investing, and you are considering engaging with someone like us, we track absorption. We also track concessions across multiple markets. I think we've got about 20 or so on our list. Southeast, all the way over to Arizona, and I think we've got one city in California even on that list. And so, you know, these are not the only variables you want to assess, but this is definitely, or the only, these are not the only two variables, I should say, but definitely you want to make sure the absorption and the concessions are in line with what else is going on in the market that you're investing in, and not only the market, the sub-market, which we also track. So say in a city like Houston, we're tracking Sugar Land versus the Woodlands, or you know, the Clear Lake area. And that's important to at least try to land on a deal that's going into an area where the indicators are above average for that overall market. And that information is out there, but it's typically not free, and we pay for some of it. And then we've got clients that are already in these markets, and so we get information that way as well. But anyway, just to read a few of the key points of this article, although newly built multifamily units across the country continue to attract tenants, a new analysis from Redfin suggests that the overall supply of apartments is outpacing demand. I would suggest it's still outpacing demand. It has been for a while now. So according to Redfin, 54% of newly built units were rented out within 3 months, but this absorption rate is the second lowest in 4 years. So, it, like I say, is still outpacing demand, availability. It's second only to the first quarter of this year, when only 47% of units were leased within 3 months. So, does that mean we've made a turn? Well, according to this article, this analysis indicates that while the uptick in absorption is positive for landlords, they may be adjusting rents and offering concessions. So to just look at the change in absorption without considering concessions, I think you understand why that's an issue. With only half of new apartments renting out within 3 months, not only do renters have more choices, but they likely have the ability to negotiate a better deal. There's a huge number of new apartments opening up, and building owners are competing with one another to fill them quickly. So, you know, the general decline in performance has been, you know, on over, what, the past year and a half, the really strong decline. And so you've got projects that you were already underway. You can't just, you know, turn the switch off and say, oh, we'll wait until interest rates go down or until some other variable that you're tracking would indicate that, you know, it was a good time to invest. You've really got to consider the totality of the market and how many units do we have that were delivered, say, a month or two ago, and how many are in the pipeline for delivery here, for instance, before the end of the year, and then look out into next year. And when you look out into next year, you're going to see that there's not nearly as many coming to market. And so it will help get an equilibrium back. It will sync up at some point, some markets faster than others. And the ability to have no concessions would probably be the first step, or maybe being able to raise the rates, including keeping concessions, and then gradually wean the concessions off, and eventually you'll be back up to where we were or past where we were. You know, I and many others are not convinced that we've beat inflation at this point. And inflation, the good news about multifamily assets, and this is critical, and those of you that have had your money or have your money in cash, you're going to learn the hard way. Cash does not keep up with inflation. Hard assets do. When inflation goes up, typically the rental rates go up. And by the way, the average rental rate growth is another variable that we look at real hard, real closely on advising clients on these transactions. We're not just looking to see, is it going to be positive or how positive is that growth rate? We're checking to see what it is in these respective markets and submarkets. And that may be one of the most important variables, because if you're able to have an increased growth rate at all over the prior 12 months, you probably got a syndication that's in decent shape, unless the occupancy has gone through the floor. Then obviously that wouldn't be the case. But if you've got any kind of positive rental growth at this moment and your occupancy is still in good shape, well, that's I would say above average compared with many of the properties that are around town. I was on the sentence about, with only about half of the new apartments renting out and within 3 months, not only do renters have more choices, but they're likely to negotiate a better deal. There's a huge number of new apartments opening up. As we know, if you drive around at least any of our Texas cities, I know Houston's in that situation. San Antonio, where I'm at this weekend, is crazy, bustling, bulging at the seams with new apartment buildings. And they've got transactions that are already underway. There's going to be more coming. I don't know if we're going to see 20,000 or so like we did for, you know, mid-23 up through today, but it's a lot, and there's a lot of empties. But they also still have a nice incoming flow of new people. A lot of corporate relocations here, a lot of growth here. The city generally has many positive indicators if you start analyzing what's going on, and particularly in certain near downtown and downtown submarkets. So a lot of good things happening in San Antonio. Redfin found that while the percentage of newly built studios leased within 3 months increased by 16 percentage points, went up from 42% in Q1 of 2024 to 58% 8%. The absorption rates for apartments with one or more bedrooms decreased by at least 5 percentage points. And that's something that we've seen. The efficiency apartment is making a comeback, is what that tells me. And if you're not, I think most of my listeners are old enough to remember what an efficiency floor plan looks like. Basically, one big room plus a bathroom, right? And I used to think we were the only people in town here in San Antonio that offered that product. We had, we have a 105-year-old property. It used to be in apartments that we've converted to condos. And we are selling some of those now, if any of you have interest. And we have studios and what I call a studio plus, or we market it as a junior one bedroom. That's another term. That one actually still means something in markets like New York City. That's a familiar term. But the absorption the absorption rates for apartments with one or more bedrooms decreased by at least 5 percentage points. So people are choosing smaller units, I guess, to stay within their budget. The most significant decline occurred with units of three or more bedrooms, which saw a 12 percentage point drop to 53% compared to the first quarter of 2023. But a nice update on the issue of absorption. Let's do this. We're just past our normal break time. Let's go ahead and take a several-minute break, and we'll circle back with more of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
You're always coming up to me and asking what's your secret. With all you do, your attitude just seems to be so good. How do you keep it? Well, I'm not the Dalai Lama, but I'll try to offer up a few words of advice. You better get to living, giving. Don't forget to throw in a little forgiving and love along the way. You better get to knowing, showing a little bit more concern about where you're going. There's a word unto the wise. You better get to living.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to nathan@npross.com, nathan@npross.com.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Like the song, Bobby McGee. I'm just longing. Dreams and fantasies, and there are many just like me with big dreams and fantasies.
Okay, welcome back to the second segment, this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And I wanted to mention that on our Sunday show coming up, we're going to do another cybersecurity episode. For those of you that haven't listened since we started it, I don't know, a couple months ago, I'm kind of surprised as to exactly the reaction I've gotten from listeners. It's like people look forward to that show now, because it seems like on every week's episode, Mr. AI Wynn, one of my associates, explains something that I and others never had an understanding of. And when we first talked about doing this, Wynn's someone I've known for, I don't know, 40 years roughly, which pains me to say on the one hand. On the other hand, I know he knows what he's doing, and he's proven it many times, not just for me. He's done work for assorted government entities who shall remain nameless, and he's good. And he's explained just common things like, you know, what goes into a phishing attack, ransomware, assorted high cyber hacks, and there's always something, at least one thing, that I learn about that I didn't know earlier. So I would encourage you, you can go back on our website if you want and pick out the dates, the episode dates that correspond to Sunday, and with the exception, I believe, of a couple weeks ago, Wynn was out of town on a project that I did, real estate and tax things. But I tell you, it is a dangerous world in which we live, and we don't hear about most of it on the news, whether it's CNN or Fox. You know, there's certain things I'm sure they know, but I'm also sure they probably don't want to be the ones that are, bringing certain things to the forefront in terms of letting it leak as to what we as a country know. But boy, there's some dangerous players out there, and you know, we're kind of living it real time right now. And when you look at some of the stuff in the artificial intelligence world, which we benefit from as well, and that's what's the give and the take, the good and the bad. You know, there's so much good in that arena that I marvel at some of the stuff we can do with ChatGPT and others. We've got a tax product that, you know, lets us access millions of pages of source documents just on a chat phrase. You know, the big push right now is to have people that understand how to construct those phrases and questions to get the most relevant answers. But I tell you, the tax area is something I know a little bit about, that I see the possibilities with artificial intelligence are just, it's hard to believe that, these tools are out there. And, you know, I know when I grew up, quote unquote, started practicing back in, it's more than 40 years, I guess, 1981, actually, I take it back, is 81 when I passed the CPA exam. But when I look at the technology, you know, we used to have a 50 or 60 volume set of three ring binders that there were three or four of the major tax research companies that produced those, and they would send us the changes in every month. You know, they'd tell you to take page 3 and 4 out and put new page 3 to 8 in, things like that. Very manual process that we outsourced it, of course. We had made some friendships with folks at our prior firm that my partner and I both started at Arthur Anderson in the tax department way back when, And so we paid a couple of their librarians. We had an incredible library at Arthur Anderson. And so we got to be buddies with those ladies, and then, you know, paid them to come over on the weekends and file those changes. And anyway, it was as painful as you listen to me describe it, perhaps. But boy, in this world of AI, we don't have one of those sets anymore. And we don't worry about updates. It's just crazy how that's all happening behind the scenes, whether it's our tax software or whether it's these publications. And it's really even more because you get things on an artificial intelligence basis, a query that you're not even subscribed to. You don't have to be a subscriber to get most of the content that's out there, as long as it's coming through one or more of these products. And so we've got a specialized custom version of a product that gives us almost instant answers to questions that even with Google searches, we would have spent a long time trying to locate. Okay, let's take a look at another article or two. And this article that I'm getting ready to discuss is near and dear to my heart. I've had several just in the recent past, maybe two or three weeks ago, about how even millionaires are renting apartments now. These are people that could obviously afford to go pay cash for a home. But what I've pointed out is that for a while now, with the level of finishes that we can get with a Class A or A-plus apartment, you know, many of us don't want to buy. We want the amenity set. It's a higher amenity set at a lower cost than we would have to spend to buy. Further, you get all kinds of flexibility in terms of, you know, doing other things that I've talked about on the air, like part-time living abroad or full-time living abroad. And I think many of you realize that I live in Bangkok, Thailand. And I'll just tell you, if more Americans figure out what I've figured out, of course, I don't figure too many things out in a hurry. I have to see it a long time. And I've been going back and forth now for 18 years, married a Thai bride back in 2007. And, you know, when you look at the lifestyle, the infrastructure of, say, Thailand versus the Philippines or versus the communism of Vietnam, I mean, there's a lot of nice places to live and Southeast Asia, and the cost is maybe 30% of what you're going to spend in America. And then you look at the fact that, you know, I feel like, you may disagree, but I feel like we're a target to a certain extent in America these days. You know, when you look at how many hypersonic missiles might arrive on our shores in a matter of, what, 20 or 30 minutes, I think, from some sources, it makes you realize that, hey, you know, there's other places in the world to lay your head down at night and not be as concerned should that, you know, happen. Although I think, you know, the odds are, if and when what I think some people worry about these days happens, I can't remember the time frame, but it can happen within a matter of, is it hours, I believe, that the whole world, if the nations that have nuclear weapons start firing them back and forth, the whole world can be eradicated in a relatively short period. But let's assume that we're not going to see that happen, and then you're just thinking about quality of life, cost of living, including medical and including food that you like to eat, etc. I tell you what, Thailand's got a lot to offer, and if you are thinking along the same lines I do, and you're interested in maybe sticking your toe in the pond I'll definitely consult with you on a concierge type basis where I can help you fast forward or accelerate your understanding of those cultures and those countries, particularly in Thailand, since that's where I live most of the time. But and I'll help you deal with tax laws and travel suggestions on the best, you know, itineraries, et cetera, depending on where you're at and where you want to go. And it's just, it's hard to describe all the benefits, and you won't believe them until you see them. And I would suggest you could even take advantage of the outstanding medical or dental tourism options that you have there, where you could go get a I don't know what kind of operation you might be getting voluntarily, or you know, maybe a cosmetic basis or a dental implant. That's one that I personally can attest to. And I'm just telling you, you can do the trip and experience a outstanding week or maybe 2 weeks of, you know, 3 or 4 star hotels and good food and outstanding dental care or medical care, and it'll cost you no more, including the trip, than getting the surgery here in America. And probably just the deductible, it would be a true statement. It's crazy. And I'll just tell you, again, if more people figure that out, we'll have even more Americans and other Westerners coming to Thailand. Okay, back to the article. We're going to talk about luxury apartments appeal to households squeezed out of home ownership. That's the other class of folks. It's not just the millionaires that are renting. Low supply of homes for sale continues to make home ownership challenging despite lower mortgage rates. And I look at that title and I think, you know, that's what's wrong with America. It's the Madison Avenue continued beating of the drum that, you know, there's something wrong with you if you prefer to rent instead of own. And I reject that, and I've rejected it for many years now. And living abroad makes me reject it even more. You think rent is cheaper than buying in America? Rent, I could just stop it. Rent is cheap in at least Southeast Asia. And if you want flexibility, maybe you want to live in Thailand for several months out of the year, maybe Portugal, or maybe Philippines. There's a number of places around the world, maybe Costa Rica. Why would you want to buy? I mean, none of those markets, if you look at condos, for instance, that you could rent today that maybe were constructed, you know, 15 to 20 years ago, you're going to see the prices haven't really appreciated that much. I mean, they've appreciated some, but not anywhere near what you could have done by investing the money. And this is true in the U.S. too. If you rent and invest the difference in real estate, at least, you would have come out way ahead. And I understand the argument that, oh, well, most people aren't disciplined enough to save the money. I get all that. So just set that to the side and just look at the flexibility that you have as a tenant as opposed to a owner. And anyway, luxury apartments are benefiting from challenging home ownership trends that appear to be prompting many higher income households to rent luxury apartments instead of transitioning to first-time home ownership. According to Marcus and Millichap, they did a September housing research brief. Class A rental vacancy was unchanged in August for the fourth straight month, and concessions on luxury units trended downward after reaching a high point in March. While the active multifamily construction pipeline is historically large, robust demand for Class A units is keeping supply pressure in check. And I don't think this article referred to anything other than Class A. I can tell you the numbers are most likely similar, maybe not quite as strong for Class B. But in any event, meanwhile, despite substantial downward movement in the average 30-year fixed-rate mortgage, existing home sales decrease year over year by 3.3% in August, reaching an 8-month low. Mortgage rates are down 60 basis points to 6.5% in August and fell another 40 basis points through September. So basically they fell 1 percentage point, I believe is how you would interpret that, from August through mid-September. Record high home prices continue to dissuade potential buyers. The median sell price of an existing single-family house rose nearly 3% year over year in August to $411,500, an all-time high. And let's see, low inventories perpetuating high valuations as the number of existing homes on the market remained under 1.1 million for the fifth month in a row. That compares with an average, almost twice as much, an average of 1.9 million houses on the market 2 decades ago. Homes are taking longer to sell in today's market, with about half taking at least 60 days to sell. That's up 500 basis points from a year ago, according to Redfin, another data source. Despite this, sellers are not inclined to give major discounts given the limited supply of homes for sale. The market could experience some downward price pressure during the next few months, but the lack of competition will limit wide-scale reduction. So for those of you that may be selling units, such as myself, don't give in. Don't yield. Be strong when you speak to your realtor, because I know there's realtors out there that don't feel what it seems like all the ones I've dealt with in my entire life feel, which is I don't care where your list price starts out, it's too high in their mind. They want to reduce it. And they don't understand that, hey, your challenge, Mr. and Ms. Realtor, is if the fish aren't biting in the area of the pond that you're fishing in, move your boat. Go to another part of the pond. There are high-ticket items selling every day in any city in America. And some people perceive value in a Mercedes, and some people will perceive value in a Chevy, okay? And, you know, or Toyota in my case, right? And so, you know, the idea is you've got to find, like in my case, I'm selling to Mr. and Ms. Homeowner. I want somebody that wants the lowest cost of entry to get into the King William Historic District here in San Antonio. I've got small units. So when you look at the mansions going for $2 to $3 million, and maybe they're selling at you know, $400 a square foot, yes, my units are much higher than that, but the cost of actually getting in to that neighborhood is substantially lower with one of my condos than it is with, you know, other competing options. So again, I understand the notion of market rates and comps. I get all that. But the point is, we'd still be selling real estate for $10 a foot if nobody pushed the envelope on nudging up the list price. And so again, it's a delicate dance. And if you're in a position where you have to sell things, you might have to lower your price, because there is a point where you hit, you know, some, the right fish swims by at the right time, sees that price and, you know, devours what's on the hook. So I know that can happen, but I've also seen it happen at the higher end of the market because value is in the eye of the beholder. And, you know, it's interesting, that delicate dance that takes place to get a suitable value, whether you're a buyer or a seller. Let's see, was there anything in this article that I think... Yeah, well, they jumped down to multifamily, and let's see, what's their point there? Multifamily deliveries are likely peaking as completions exceeded new permits. I would agree with that. I've seen it in several markets. Some of them have already peaked, some markets. The active pipeline remains exceedingly large, but supply pressure could notably fade in the coming years, according to Marcus and Millichap. Okay, let's go ahead and take our final break. We're a little bit past that time, but we'll circle back momentarily with more of this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
I was gonna be rich no matter how much it cost. And I was gonna win no matter how much I lost. Grindstones and rhinestones have made up my life. But I shine like a diamond through sacrifice. I was gonna be rich no matter how much it cost. I was gonna win no matter how much I lost. But I hope that will tell me, well done, my child. You've won your reward through your sacrifice. Your
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com, Nathan at npross.com.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. But I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. Will I make it? Maybe so. Will I give up? Oh, no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. I'm gonna woman up and take it like a man. I'm gonna buckle up, be tough enough.
Okay, welcome back with more of this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And I was talking about a couple of articles so far today that involve the rental mode as opposed to home ownership. And I think, according to the, haven't looked at it lately, but I know it was as recent as 2 or 3 months ago, the Florida Atlantic University is who does the rent to buy index that you can analyze and you know, market areas, et cetera, to determine what's best in terms of certain markets and submarkets. And there's very few markets where you don't have a better option for renting versus buying. And it's going to be that way for a while in many of them. But in any event, I was looking at, and I haven't had a chance to go through this thoroughly, but I think this is a good example of how the multifamily market is kind of thawing out. There's a property here in San Antonio, 308 unit. I'm going to say it's, let's see, what class would this be? It looks like it's at least a B. We'll probably uncover it as I go through here. And I've only got about a little less than 10 minutes, but I'm just trying to look at what are the high level variables that have been, I mean, it's palpable when you compare a deal today with one 6 months or a year ago, but, in any event, on this particular property, it's what we would call a value add transaction, meaning it's a less than desirable. It's not up to the minute or up to date necessarily on the amenity set. The building itself probably needs some work. So this is like 2000 to 2000, you know, 10 or maybe 8 construction. This particular property is 2006 vintage. That's what they call it, 2006 vintage. It's a multifamily community, 18 miles northeast of downtown San Antonio. So it sounds like it's on its way to Austin, kind of, you know, going up 35. But in any event, the renovations are going to upgrade 55% of the units. Let's see, the remaining 20% will get some interior upgrades, but not exactly the quartz level, which is, you know, their high best finish product. But in any event, what I wanted to point out, or one of the things I wanted to point out, is that, well, first of all, this is typical of a value add. And by the way, value add, again, as opposed to a yield play is a property that's already been, for the most part, amenitized. The rents are up in market levels. Occupancy is good. That's like buying a T-bill, or, you know, you don't have to worry about changing the character of the property or moving it from a minus to a plus, as the case may be. The hold on this property, let's see, is it a 4-year? Yeah, a 4-year target hold. It's got an agency debt senior loan, or that's the debt structure, which is good. Presume it's got 4 years of the term remaining, so it's not your classic or the ones that are getting people in trouble now from 2 years ago, or the 3-year bridge type loans. So this is fixed rate, and there's 4 years remaining, and so that's in line with their target of a 4-year holding period. And let's see if we can get just a high level here with the few minutes we got remaining. I'm curious what sort of target equity multiple. And let's see, this company owns 3 other multifamily assets in San Antonio. They have one that's only a mile away from this property. Let's see, where are the financial highlights? Just trying to find out. Okay, I've already mentioned they're going to renovate 169 units and out of the 308. And then they've got some of the units are actually already amenitized. And let's see, I need to turn that off. Let's see, I'm skipping around, I realize, but I'm trying to hit some highlights here. San Antonio, according to their data, shows over 1.5 million total residents now. It was the number one largest gaining city in the country from July 22 to July 23. And as I mentioned, there's still a lot of incoming here. Strong five-year population growth for both the San Antonio market and the Northeast San Antonio submarket, 6.4%, which for those of you that are familiar with San Antonio, you will recognize that that's significant growth for this market. And I think it's benefited a lot from some of the negative publicity that Austin has gained as of late with their homeless crisis. But the San Antonio New Braunfels MSA has added 18, that's I think metropolitan something area, I can't remember what the S is for, but it's added 18,900 jobs between July 23 and July 24, 1.6% annual growth rate. That's a lot for this area. Again, this isn't Austin. But it's going to be, if we don't watch out, we're going to get what we wish for. But in any event, let's see. I'm trying to still find what's our equity multiple and that sort of thing. Let me pop open the PPM if I've got time to drill down on that. Let's see if I can find, well, this thing is not the summary that I was hoping it was. It's an extensive document. Well, let's do this. We're right at the end of the show. We'll be back. Well, Sunday's our cybersecurity show, but I'll save this transaction off to the side. We'll discuss it next Thursday because, again, you're going to see more and more of these types of transactions. Is this three-year bridge debt type structure on all the deals that went out in 2022 virtually. They're all the chickens are coming home to roost with needing to refinance this year and next, and you're going to see enormous opportunities. Some, or many, are going to be distressed. There's over $600 billion, I think, remaining. There may be more than that. I know the one article I read several months ago said there were somewhere over $650 to $700 billion in debt that on multifamily properties that was on the watch list, plural. So anyway, we'll be back with more real estate and tax content next Thursday at 2 p.m. Again, hope you can join us Sunday for the Cybersecurity Sunday Show. It starts at 7 a.m. And, of course, we've got all of our shows on our website, podcast link at beaplannershow.com. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening. And join us again next week for another edition of Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.